This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Betzler with Tyler Rogaway, the editor-in-chief of The War Zone at The Drive. The explication of the arsenal that is appearing in Ukraine now, that has appeared in Iraq and Afghanistan these many years, and now we're looking to the future. The Next Generation Air Dominance Fighter Program. It looks like a flying saucer. What am I looking at, Tyler?
So you're looking at a tailless, large, manned, relatively long-range tactical aircraft, okay? To call it a fighter, this program is not a fighter program. It has a manned element at its center, which would be, once again, a long-range, very stealthy aircraft that has fairly high performance, but has a lot of fuel to get it to where it needs to go, and it can carry quite a few weapons. But really, that system would work as a kind of a more of a quarterback, as a central nervous system, as a manned component of a larger ecosystem of future air combat vehicles, which would be mainly unmanned. And we call those unmanned combat air vehicles, stealthy, some of them attritable, meaning they can be lost in combat and it's not a big deal. Some of them much more advanced, where they're much more expensive, where you do not want to lose them. They're all different risk classes and capabilities. And basically, it's more of a modular idea where you can take this aircraft, instead of having, like, you know, one radar for the life of the aircraft, or, you know, one system embedded into it. It's fairly open architecture where they're going to be able to put different systems on it fairly easily over the life of the aircraft. And that's true for the drones and the weapons it uses as well. And the final part of this that, you know, it doesn't get a lot of talk is that although it's not as sexy as a fighter or stealth drone, is it's the ecosystem, the architecture for communications among these systems, which will be able to work seamlessly together as a swarm when there's not a man in the loop. So we're talking as making decisions at the speed of computers and data links. And when there is a man in the loop, there'll be somebody there to tell them, you know, okay, you can do this if it's asked, or I want you to go here, you go here, hit this target, jam this target, etc. So this is, bottom line, John, this is the future of the United States Air Force's tactical air combat, period. This is it.
During the development of the F-35, we often talked about that being not as much a fighter as a control agent for manned and unmanned vehicles around it. Is that what this is as well, just the next generation of F-35?
So that was always something that the F-35 could do eventually. And we'll see that. Definitely the F-35 will be teamed with drones as well. This system starts from the ground up and says, how do we build a family of systems that were all developed together with similar requirements in mind that can work seamlessly together, that have potentially interchangeable components, that have even their airframes can be potentially dictated by their combat environment. For instance, the manned platform could potentially have smaller wings and shorter range, but still have all the commonality with another version of the manned platform with larger wings and maybe a longer fuselage. The shorter one would work in Europe, where the range issue is not a problem, whereas the longer range version would be designed for the Pacific. And we're not talking about a different version of the aircraft. We're talking about a modular system from day one where that can be adapted to fly in those different environments. This is not me talking. The Air Force has actually said that they're looking at two different winged and basic designs for this NGAD platform that have almost direct 100% commonality. So we're talking extreme adaptability, and overall something we've talked about for 10 years, John, is the march toward unmanned air combat being the premier focus of the entire domain, right? eventually you're going to be able to pull that manned platform out of the ecosystem and just let the drones work as fast as they can to break the enemy's decision cycle. Eventually that's where this is headed, and it's modular in a sense that it will be able to operate in different ways where there would be a man present and maybe sometimes where there will not.
Skunkworks. What's a day without mentioning Skunkworks, Tyler? You have a wonderful article on your site about how Skunkworks brought its latest imaginary aircraft or aircraft to the Top Gun movie, which is a huge hit. But the movie within the movie is the Dark Star. How did Skunkworks do this? How did they manage it?
Yeah, so, I mean, Skunkworks is known for creating the SR-71 Blackbird. They're known for speed, not just speed as far as the airplane going fast, but creating incredible technologies very quickly that are game-changing, getting them to flight tests very quick. So, basically, the producers of the movie went to Skunkworks and said, we would love to have this element of the movie, this high-speed aircraft. We love you guys to design it, so it's fairly accurate, and you know it really has street credit, not just a cartoon. And that's what they did. They designed it and you know made it where it's basically kind of an idea of what one of their high-speed products would be. And really, that's the interesting thing about this is the wink, wink part of all this.
Right.
What? You know, John, I think years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, we talked about how Lockheed, the SR-72 high-speed aircraft, how their CEO and their major heads of that company said that they could build a manned demonstrator for $1 billion in a couple of years. This was like 2016. I do think we're seeing a reflection of probably something that's happening in the black world. That's kind of the joke, is that the Dark Star potentially does exist, and it doesn't look the same, but it's very similar, and it's something that we have actually developed as part of our hypersonic development programs.
These drawings that are on your site, and I urge everybody to go look at the different varieties of imagining Dark Star. Are these from Lockheed or are these from people you know? Where did you get these?
No, products? those are straight from Lockheed Skunkworks. Yeah. All of it, all the imagery, and apparently they did a partial mock-up of the cockpit, which they call as like a piece of art as far as how like complex it is. It's all theirs. So you're seeing their actual engineers and the people that do the renderings for them and all that, they designed this. And there's there's a corporate part of this too, right? Boeing owned Top Gun Maverick. I mean, the Super Hornet is a star of that show,
right?
And, you know, the F-35C is kind of a background thing, and you know, this did give Lockheed a great foot in there, showing off some of their capabilities. So that's part of it. But I do think we get a very odd feeling from them that there's more to this than just the fictional part of it. And even the quote we have from them there that says, you know, this is not necessarily a real aircraft, but it's representative of real capabilities. That kind of tells you what's going on. That this high speed, the getting us back into the high speed game is one of the main top priorities of the whole Pentagon right now. So the fact that one of these could exist, the Dark Star, a manned test platform for hypersonic aircraft could exist. Well, they were talking about doing it 5 years ago. The timing seems right.
Tyler Rogaway, the editor-in-chief of The War Zone at The Drive. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What if every student had a tutor? And personalized learning was available to everyone. What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.